Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 88 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Todd, joined as always with Leonard. How are you doing today, Leonard?
I'm doing good. It was a rough weekend, but things are looking up. Got the air back on, and we're doing the podcast.
That's right. Now that we're done arguing 80 songs, everything's good. We don't have to come to blows or anything.
That's right. Todd was claiming that Whitesnake had more than one hit, and I refuse to believe such a lie.
Whitesnake had many hits. They were at least a two-hit band, I'm pretty sure.
There was Here I Go, and that was it.
Yes, and the other one that we were talking about before the show.
Even though there was a video of it, I didn't have a chance to look to see where it ranked on the Billboard charts.
Okay, I guess. I'll let you have that one.
It was a song they sang about Skype, Todd was telling me.
Yes, it was about Skype. It's how we do the show, and I think it would be a great transition, but we'll never use it.
So, hey, San Diego was this past week.
That's right. That big San Diego news from people leaving books, coming on books, going to be, you know, new books all around, movie news, everything out of San Diego. We also have what we read last week. I think we cross over on everything. New books like Red Sonja and old favorites.
Yes.
What we're looking forward to this week. I'm not really sure yet. I have to look at the list as we're going.
I don't think we're going to line up on this one.
Okay. Interesting. And we have the Twitter question from last week was, what would be your dream announcement out of San Diego? A lot of interesting ones on this one. I don't think we're going to line up on this one either. So.
No, again, big reveal. I send Todd the notes before we do the show. And usually, for my own purposes, I write down what my my answer to the question is, but I'll delete it from the email that I send to Todd. Sometimes he notices, sometimes he doesn't. This time I did not delete it, but that's okay, because one of our listeners was able to encapsulate what my wish would have been much more eloquently than I ever could have.
Ah, okay. See, I honestly didn't notice. I don't pay attention to the notes too much.
That's right.
That's the way I like it. Wing and a prayer, baby.
The correct answer is supposed to be, what notes?
Yes, what notes? Did I do that correctly that time?
Yes.
So, where would you
I got tons of people. I was in Deptford, New Jersey this past weekend for wrestling. Mm-hmm. And it was a good show, a hot show.
Are you saying it was hot last week?
Oh, my goodness. And everybody, fans were coming up to me, the wrestlers were coming up to me, our staff people were coming up to me asking me all about San Diego. Now, a lot of our folks, obviously, are fans of comic books and comic-dom. From the sampling that I had of the people that were at the show, both, there to watch the show and there to participate as part of the show, what do you think was the thing that everyone asked me about that they brought up to me every time?
Superman Batman
was the number one story amongst the general populace, if you will. And I'm not to pull a phrase from Mad Money, but I'm cautiously optimistic.
Me too. Because yes. I wasn't like, I don't think both of us were big fans of the Man of Steel movie. And now we're going into, you know, adding Batman, which I think is a smart move. I honestly didn't know what they were going to announce. I thought, like, you know, we'd maybe get another, maybe a Flash movie, Wonder Woman movie. They'd announce something. I didn't think they'd go right into Justice League, but there was always that, you know, chance. But when they said Batman, I was like, you know what? There's your anchor. Might as well throw him in. And, the symbol is awesome from the comic, and they changed it a little bit for the movie and whatever they're going to call it yet. Superman, Batman, or Batman, Superman, or Versus, or whatever.
World's Finest. Right. Oh, if they called it World's Finest. That would get them some more points in the plus column for me.
Would it really?
Yes. Just by simply calling the movie, like, not like Batman, Superman, : World's Finest, or Superman, Batman, : World's Finest. If they just called the movie World's Finest, I'd be like, yeah, that takes cojones to just call your movie that.
That would take big stones, but I don't think they're going to call it World's Finest. I think it's going to end up being, I honestly think they'll go with Batman, Superman, and especially because you have the Batman, Superman book out, And there you go. It's or versus or something. He's Batman's going to come to Metropolis to avenge the thousands of deaths that Superman caused.
Oh, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and one of the podcasts I listen to, The Indoor Kids, it's these two comedians. They talk mostly about video games. They were at San Diego, the whole thing. And one of them had joked that how awesome. How, if they did for this new universe for the DC characters, that Batman's parents were in one of the buildings that Superman destroyed.
Yeah, but I don't think that would work because it'd be a little too old. I think he'd be over it easier. You know, because that way he'd be an older guy getting the fortune. You know, he'd be good.
Right. So I'm glad that they're doing this. I feel they almost had to do this to get Batman in there as quickly as they can.
Mm-hmm.
The sooner they get their Batman in, the quicker people will accept it and not beg and want for the Nolan verse Batman, if that makes any sense.
No, I'm with you because I hear people all the time now like, is it going to be, what was the actor's name? Christian Bale. Is it going to be Christian Bale? Is it going to be Christian Bale? I said, you know what? You know, I wouldn't say never because there's a chance you can drive a dump truck load of money up to his house.
Right.
But I'm going to go with no. I think they want a clean slate, you know, because then if you try to tie it into that era of the movies, then you have the whole, like, Gordon Levitt thing, and I don't know. I think they want a fresh start, and I think it would be smart, and whoever they get, you know, as long as they get... Batman's an easier sell, so as long as they have a halfway decent actor who doesn't sound like he's been gargling in gravel for the last year, we should be good.
I think... they should go with a more relative unknown, like they did with this Henry Cavill.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that Henry Cavill was a relative, you know, he was an unknown, but he was a relative unknown. He wasn't like the lead or even like the second lead in a major motion picture blockbuster type thing. Where Christian Bale, when he first became Batman, he had been around for a while, and, you know, whether you knew him from American Psycho or tons of the other stuff that he had been in before, he was a known actor. I think their best bet is to get an actor who they can make Batman, as opposed to an actor having to be, you know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. It's somebody you have to go, oh, that's so-and-so playing Batman, like a big name, like I'm trying to think of an actor, instead of like, oh, you know, that's... Like I know what you're saying. It's hard to explain. A no-name, you know, becoming Batman, and it's less, you know, noticeable and in-your-face kind of a thing. I don't know if that's close to what you're trying to say.
No, that's what I think they should do. Whether or not they will, we're still a little ways out from that. Remember right after when Man of Steel came out, like the Thursday before, they were like, yep, we're already going to be working on the next Man of Steel movie, and it's going to be ready to go for next summer. Or something crazy like that. It's like, that sounds like a lie.
I was like, even if you had the script in the hopper, it's like, okay, you know, and you're ready to start shooting tomorrow. I was like, a year out is a bit... and then the rumor on top of that was we were getting a Justice League movie with Superman the year after that.
Right, because it was supposed to be Justice League was 2015, and now Justice League is 2017, mm-hmm. Right?
I think so, because I don't know what all that is. Because then there was rumors we were getting a Flash movie, and they didn't say anything about it. So right. I'm still like... I'm just going to stick on the whole Batman-Superman movie for, like, you know, 2016, they said?
Yes.
Or 15.
Right, that's 15, and then, right.
So I'm just gonna you know, do that one for now, and when they give me more concrete stuff for the next one, that's when I'll go for that one. Let's get a Batman first before we do a Justice League movie.
There you go.
Or talk about it, you know?
So, the other, you know, big studio movie news was that the Avengers sequel now is officially going to be called Avengers: The Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff has come out that it's only going to be an in-name relation to the recent Age of Ultron storyline. They said that there's going to be no Hank Pym in there, but I don't trust these Hollywood types. You know, Joss Whedon tells us these things. Didn't J.J. Abrams tell us that Khan wasn't going to be in the new Star Trek movie?
Khan was in the new Star Trek movie?
Oh, boy. That was in the spoiler part of the show you don't listen to.
Ah, okay. No, I know what you mean. And Joss Whedon's one for throwing you a curve, too. So I look at it as, like you said, it's in name only, because there's no way you could do the Age of Ultron story. I mean, even if you took out all the other characters and Wolverine and stuff like that, it's pretty much a story about Ultron being around a long, long time and what you have to do to stop him, and they're creating him over here. I heard somebody online, and it made me laugh out loud, that you know, Stark creates Ultron, and it's the arm robot from the first two movies. With the fire extinguisher, his AI gets out of control and becomes Ultron.
Now, there was the storyline that, I don't know if it was Kurt Busiek, when they did the Heroes Return deal.
Mm-hmm.
He did a little storyline where one of the armors became sentient and, like, killed Whiplash or something.
Ah, no, I'm talking about the building arm, not the armor.
Oh, okay.
Remember with the fire extinguisher thing?
Yes.
I think that would be cool. But no, I think it'll be Tony doing something and try to... Because I don't know, we'll get the Ant-Man movie before that. So will they have Hank Pym in there being, all the things that he can do? Because I heard Joss talking about how if you'd make another super genius in the Marvel Universe, it waters down Tony a little bit.
That's a great point.
And this is the guy who made Avengers and made them $1.5 billion. And if he says having two super geniuses is not a good idea, I'm gonna go, okay, Joss, you're right. So we'll see what happens.
Now, Marvel did their whole rollout for all the movies that are either in the can, ready to go, still filming, or so forth. But there was a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, and that's the stuff I'm most excited for. We saw that teaser poster, we saw the logo, we saw all the props, we saw what the Nova Corps are going to look like, and they were in the middle of shooting, and by the middle, they were 2 weeks into shooting, and they had the entire cast come over to do the panel at San Diego.
Fly in and then fly out.
Yep, and that's the movie I'm most excited for coming out of San Diego. We'll get in all the comic stuff, I promise. But just looking at the teaser stuff, like, they showed some test footage of Guardians of the Galaxy, apparently.
Yes.
At San Diego, and I haven't seen it pop up online yet, and I really want to see it.
I'm with you, and this is one of those things, just to go over a couple of movies, you have the Guardians of the Galaxy, which I really want to see. They say the test footage or whatever they had shot was awesome. There was a Godzilla snippet that I really want to see, and then they had a trailer for the Doctor Who 50th anniversary. And in all these panels, everyone said that we're not going to release these to the general public. Like, we're not. You may see them, you know, with the handheld devices, the cameras, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, and I believe it, because there was a Godzilla little trailer last year in San Diego, and it never slipped. And it kind of makes me sad because, you know, a lot of people can't get there and a lot of people want to see it. So I don't know how many people you can fit in a hall. Only got to see that Guardian of the Galaxy stuff. And I just think, I don't know if it gives it a buzz because we can't see it. And that's what they're thinking. You know, like, everybody's like, oh, we didn't get to see it. Now I want to see it. And it's that whole, you can't have it. So, you know, you want to go see Guardians of the Galaxy or any of these other things. But it makes me kind of sad that, you know, that they probably won't be released, like, for the general public.
That's okay. But you know what? There was Thor stuff and there was Cap stuff. And, like, as I guess they showed, like, a fight scene or something from Cap. And I'd like to see that. But I really, really want to see the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
Me too. That's what I'm saying. All, like, all around that kind of stuff. And I love the fact that with the Thor stuff, they had the guy who plays Loki come out. I don't know if you heard about that. And he demanded everybody in the hall bow to him before he would show the footage. And he just, like, did not come out of character. And I'm like, I remember last year when they were doing the Iron Man thing, and you know, Downey Jr. danced down to the stage and everything. Marvel's got, like, the big announcement, you know, Superman, Batman, it's still big, even without a Batman. But Marvel, like, puts on a show. And I think that's really, really cool. And we got to see Karen Gillan without her hair. So that was...
She has something to do with that Doctor Who, doesn't she?
Yeah, she was one of the companions on the Doctor Who. And now she's Nebula, I think, in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Right. And, there you go. Your fancy Doctor Who people are getting real jobs. Good for them.
Oh, good. Well, you know what? Some of your fancy wrestlers are getting real jobs, too, in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
That's right. The animal Chris Batista.
That's right. Right? The guy who used to draw Booster Gold, right? No, that was a different Batista.
That's a different Batista. So, you know, that's the big movie stuff, of course, and there was tons and tons and tons of comics news. A bunch of it actually came out as no surprise in between the time that our show was recorded and came out last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked about how Dynamite is really bringing the heavy hitters, the big guns, and they made, like, three more huge announcements, you know, more properties and stuff that they're doing. They're doing a Twilight Zone book. They're doing a book on the TV show Bob's Burgers, which I hear is really good, but I've never seen. It's on the Netflix. I'm going to watch it one day.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, this is the news that almost closed down this podcast.
Okay.
This episode was going to be just an hour of talking about this announcement, and that's the IDW Alice Cooper book that's coming out. Or the Dynamite. The Dynamite book of Alice Cooper that's coming out.
Yes. I was like, yay. I found it funny because, you know, I like Alice Cooper as a tongue-in-cheek. He gets himself. I really do. I don't think, you know, he's got a, you know, one of those giant egos. He's like, I love the idea of doing it in comics because they can, you know, at my age, he's like 65 or whatever, they can still draw me with really good abs so I don't have to worry about it. And I'm like, there's a guy who gets it. And he has a history in comics. He has that Marvel Premiere 50, which you didn't believe in. And
right.
And he had the, you know, life and the Alice Cooper thing from the album with Neil Gaiman and Zulie, which is beautiful. And I think that's the 20th anniversary or whatever. And they're re-releasing that in hardcover format. So I'm looking forward to get that. But I'll pick it up. I'll see how it is and, you know, how fun it is and what they're going to do with it. Because I don't know if he's going to be like a, you know, the stories are going to revolve around him, or maybe he'll be like a Crypt Keeper or a Rod Serling on a Twilight Zone thing where he introduces the story and maybe he has a little hand in it or whatever. But as, you know, as a fan, I'll give it a try.
I was going to say, Todd, speculate all you want.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to buy this book regardless.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was trying to say. There was no, I'm not getting this book. If it's really bad, I won't. Read it and just put it in the box. I mean, but otherwise, you know, I'm in for the long haul.
And so, you know, there was tons of news, and I'm sure our listeners saw that, and, you know, our Twitter account was tweeting out a lot of it. It was hot and heavy over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to cover everything. You know, obviously, I put that on Todd, that Alice Cooper book was his big, you know, his big comic announcement, the thing that stuck out to him most. I'll give him a chance to actually tell his real one, unless that was...
No, that wasn't the real one.
Okay, so my big announcement, the one I'm most excited for on the comic side of things, is the new Jason Aaron, Ed McGuinness X-Men book called Amazing X-Men that has Wolverine, Firestar, Storm, Northstar, Beast, Iceman, and Nightcrawler in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you had me at Jason Aaron book. The rest is just gravy on top of gravy.
Yes, I figured as much. As soon as I saw that, I was like, I wonder who that appeals to. I mean, it appeals to me, too. I love Jason Aaron. I hear he does another X-Men book that I have to try one of these days. But like I said, you know, in on the ground floor, I'll definitely give it a try. I like the team. I think it's interesting, and he hasn't let me down yet. So I'm all in for an X-Men book by Jason Aaron.
So was that your the announcement you were most excited about?
It was actually the Alice Cooper one. You threw me. I thought you were talking about that. Was that my dream announcement? You know what I mean? At the end of the show. And if it is, I'll let you get it out right now. So I was like, oh, no, that wasn't my dream announcement. But yeah, that was my favorite so far. Sorry, I got confused.
Now, I know there was one other bit of news that you wanted to mention, and that was in regards to the publishing rights for the Doctor Who comics.
Yes, it was. IDW, at the end of the year, after that miniseries that you're loving so much, Prisoners of Time, wraps up in December, that IDW's losing the rights to do the Doctor Who comics. And there were some comics, you know, to come out yet. They have the ongoing series. But the part that breaks my heart, and I don't know if you saw it in the article that I sent you, was... they had Mark Waid kind of lined up to do a storyline.
Yes.
And I was like, I wanted to hear the words from Leonard that I'm like, without me going, you have to get this book. He's like, you know what? I pick up stuff from Mark Waid. I'm going to get the Doctor Who Mark Waid without, you know, me having to prompt you. And I think that might have happened. So that makes me sad. But who knows where it's going to land. That's one of the things that I'm interested in, to see if we're going to get Doctor Who comics as of January or if we're going to have to wait for the property to land somewhere.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I guess they say that, you know, obviously some other companies are trying to get it. Titan and Boom, of course. Mark Waid has a history with Boom. So we shall see. I think even if he was lined up to do the book mm-hmm. or not, they whoever picks up the license should definitely try to get a hold of what, however their licensing has to work with Mark Waid to get him to do a book.
Yes. And would you pick that up?
I would definitely give it a try.
That's what I say, not, you know, oh, I'm going to definitely get the whole run. Because I know you tried stuff like Green Hornet and you weren't a fan, but you still bought it just on the Mark Waid name alone.
Well, he has the, whatchamacallit, the Archie comic Fox character, like the Archie heroes.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing the Hawk, the Fox, rather, come this October. And I don't know anything about that character, but I am going to check that out.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely give that a try, too. Like, Mark Waid has some cachet in my book, so I know he does in yours, too.
He certainly does. So I think that covers the news, unless there was anything else you really wanted to talk about from San Diego. I think it's probably, at this point, it's been done to death.
Yes, it has. I mean, we hit the high spots, the important stuff.
We certainly did. So let's get into some of the digital stuff, the digital freebies and digital sales going on. Marvel, of course, always has their freebies available through Comixology. They have Amazing Spider-Man 30. No, not going all the way back to the 60s. It was the renumbering from the early 2000s. It was the first J. Michael Straczynski issue. They have the most recent Kelly Sue DeConnick Captain Marvel number one available for free. And they also have issue one of Marvel Eye of the Camera, which was kind of, sort of, an unofficial sequel to the Kurt Busiek Marvels.
Mm-hmm.
So those are our three freebies available to you this week, along with tons of others. As always, there's tons of freebies available through Comixology. And the sales this week, Valiant has Shadow Man and Eternal Warrior on sale. Both the current and previous Shadow Man runs, and then the previous Eternal Warrior run. And they also have IDW's My Little Pony on sale.
Yay.
Now, scoff all you want. I read that miniseries, and it is really good. It is a fun comic. It doesn't talk down to people. If you're a fan of My Little Pony, a brony, what may have you, however they say these things, you know, you'll enjoy this book. If you like good, fun writing with a lot of in-jokes and a lot of pop culture-y stuff in there,
mm-hmm.
by all means, check it out. You can get the first, I think, 5 issues collected in a trade for $4. It's a deal at thrice the price.
I think we both read the first issue, even I did, and I laughed. It's not something that, you know, I would get all the time, but the first issue had me cracking up. So if that's your cup of tea, that's definitely a good deal.
Yes. So that covers it up for digital sales and digital freebies. And now would be a great time to mention one of our sponsors, and that would be Transporter. It is a private cloud solution that you own and control, kind of like Dropbox, without having to get involved with, you know, nebulous cloud sort of things. It's a device that you control. You share your data peer-to-peer with other transporters. You can access your information using mobile versions on your iOS or Android device. Starts as low as $199, and you could even go all the way up to pricing options, including up to 2 terabytes worth of information. I think last week I said that's about 1 million pictures. I think it's something at the ballpark of about 300,000 HD movies.
Yes, it's a lot of storage. And for 10% off on their online stores, use the code LONGBOX. The site is filetransporter.com/longbox.
That's right, and that's how they know you got there from us.
Yes.
So let's get into the books that we read from last week. We both had different books, kind of like a 1A and a 1B,
mm-hmm.
Individually. What would you like to start with?
Let's start with Red Sonja, because that's an interesting new title.
Yes, Red Sonja from Dynamite. We had mentioned them before. Written by Gail Simone, a favorite of the show, with art by Walter Giovanni. And I'm going to pretend I pronounced that correctly. And maybe you know who Red Sonja is, maybe you don't. Maybe you saw the Brigitte Nielsen film back in the 80s.
Yes.
Maybe you're a Conan fan and you know who this character is. I knew as little about this character coming into this book as you possibly can, and I enjoyed this book quite a bit.
I did too. Like I said, I know a little bit from the movie, like you said, and I know she was created, I think, in the Marvel Conan comics, but I'm not 100% sure on that, so I know a little bit from that. But I enjoyed it too. It was an interesting, you know, sword and sorcery era book. I'm a big fan of Conan and other stuff like that. So I found this to be fun. I enjoyed Giovanni's, I'm going to say it the same way, that's what it looks like, art. And like I said, it was just a fun book. I like the fact that she's a take-no-gruff character. Red Sonja's fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, early on, I'll be honest, I was a little, I don't want to say taken aback, but a lot of the old-timey speak I felt was a little, you know, sometimes it can be overdone. I felt a little early in the book it was a bit overdone.
Mm-hmm.
However, as, you know, you'll see in the preview images that we include here with the show notes, there's kind of, here's the beginning of the story, and now we're going to tell you how we got to this point sort of mechanism that's used in the story. I like the way that Red Sonja was written. She comes off as a real tough character almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I like those two sisters that show up to assist her.
Right.
And knowing nothing about this book, they make you feel as though what happens on that last page, that cliffhanger, if you will,
mm-hmm.
is a big deal.
Yes, because like I don't know where we're going to go with that, but I'm the same way. I was like, Gail, you have me interested in the last page to keep me going, which is, you know, important part of a monthly comic. But yeah, all around fun. Right now I haven't been enjoying Conan, so this is going to be a nice book to fill that need for me.
Right, and coming into this book, you know, we had mentioned before about Mark Waid being one of those creators that I'm going to check anything out that they do, and he, just on his name alone, on any property, he gets two issues from me. And Gail Simone's kind of the same way. And coming into this book, I'll be honest, I wasn't, not saying looking forward to the book, but I was going into this book very apprehensively because it's a character I'm not familiar with, but I'm sold on this book. As long as Gail's on this book, I'm on this book too.
Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of her writing Knockout from the old Secret Six, but in a more yes. medieval time.
That's a really good analogy. That's a really good analogy. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking, if she can get like five or six other characters that she can do individual stories like this,
mm-hmm.
maybe we can get the Secret Six back, kind of broken up over the course of six or seven individual books.
Yes, or it would be nice to see her get a nice little team together, like, you know, doing some weird stuff with Red Sonja and maybe, like, taking the twins in this or create other characters, and that could be pretty awesome.
Right, so definitely, if your store still has a copy of Red Sonja, I heard they sold quite well. I would definitely check that out.
And I heard that I think that's getting a second print, too, so... That's
yes.
really cool. So it'd be easier, like, you know, get it the second print if you can't find the first.
And again, as always, it's always available digitally.
That is true.
So speaking of a book digitally, it's a digital first for DC. It's the first time that they're doing this with their digital initiative books, and I think this is the way it's going to go forward, is that the first three installments of Batman 66 were released in print this past week. And the third part of this came out digitally, you know, the third part of the story came out digitally the same day the print collection was together. So they're right on top of it. It's an awesome cover. The Mike Allred cover, written by Jeff Parker, art by Jonathan Case. Now, I did not double dip on this one and get the digital. I'm just sticking with print on this one. But from talking to people that got both, they said that the guided view not changes the story, but gives you such a different experience in reading the story.
I had heard that, but I haven't talked to anybody personally who mm-hmm. who had done both, so I don't know. But it might be interesting. See, I want to find out from anybody if it looks better digitally than it does on the printed page.
I know from seeing some of the, like, you know, if you go to Comixology and you look up these books, you can see, like, the first, like, page or two, you know, previewed out.
Mm-hmm.
The colors are a little bit more vibrant. Like, the colors are a little bit, I don't want to say washed out in the print version, but they're a lighter color palette that they use, mm-hmm. as opposed to the darker color palette that they use on the digital end.
Right. My problem with it is, as soon as I opened it up, before we even get into the story, as soon as I opened it up, I felt like I was looking at a book that I should have 3D glasses on to read. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it really messed me up. It really, after a while, started to be like weird, like Batman's bat symbol on his chest has like a weird double look to it and some other stuff. And I'm like, that's why I want to see this comic digitally, because I'm not talking about the art now. You know what I mean? Like, I think the guy captured the likenesses of, you know, Adam West and Burt Ward and Frank Gorshin and all that stuff. But reading it, it really made me queasy. So I'm not a fan of the way this book looks right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's surprising. Mm. I'll be honest with you. I did not expect that. I really enjoyed this. Quite a bit. As I mentioned before, the baby's been watching a lot of Batman TV show on YouTube and everywhere else that you can watch it. He's just fascinated with it. And I think that Case does a really good job with the likenesses of the main characters. His Alfred and Commissioner Gordon are a little off.
I was going to say that, too. It doesn't look a lot like them. I wonder if they wanted money for the exact likeness.
Right.
Even though I don't think
they're allowed. But again, you know, it's not an exact likeness of, you know, Burt Ward and Adam West and everything else like that, but it's close enough. You know who those characters are, even if they weren't in the outfits. I felt this was a lot of fun. It felt just like the old show, right, even down to them doing the window gag with someone popping out of the window while they're climbing up the side of the building.
It's a very interesting person to have for the window gag, too. Now, I thought, story-wise, I talked about the art. This is totally, you know, feels like a Batman 66 book. I got no problem with that. It was fun. The only thing is, reading something like this month in and month out, I think I would get bored, because, like, I liked the TV show, but I think this could get, for me now, because I know a lot of people are big fans of the show, could get stale for me. So we'll have to see.
I certainly hope not. I think Jeff Parker, if anyone, will do a very good job of keeping your interest and anyone else's interest that checks this book out.
Well, I know he's got me definitely for issue 2, because there's a Kevin Maguire variant. Number 2.
Oh, there you go. You're a sucker for those Kevin Maguire variants.
I am.
So, what do you want to talk about next? We got about 3 or 4 other books that we can touch upon.
Let's do Iron Man.
What is it? Iron Man issue 13?
Yes, it is.
Iron Man issue 13. We kind of start to go away a little bit more from the past of Tony's family, of how Tony came to be, and now it's more so of what 451 claims Tony's destiny is.
Mm-hmm.
And by claim, I mean, I still think 451 cannot be trusted, worth the metal he is made out of.
I totally agree with you, but my favorite part of this is Death's Head is back.
Yes.
And I like him as a character in this. I never really read any Death's Head before this. I think he may have appeared in 1 or 2 comics that I read over the years. I want to say She-Hulk, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But I never read anything else, so I just find it, you know, fun. He's a fun bounty hunter, you know, character. And I love the, is it the God Killer? No, that's the...
Yes.
I'm thinking the God Bomb from Thor. Yes, it's the God Killer. I like whatever's going on with that, and I want to see what, you know, plans 451 has with that and for Tony and the whole backstory to see how this plays out.
Yeah, and this is an issue where Greg Land was back on art, and because it was a lot of robots and a lot of big machinery, it looked really cool. He did not have to draw Tony's face a bunch, which is not his strong suit.
Yes, you're not a fan of Greg Land's mustached face.
No, or any of the faces that he draws.
Gotcha.
But, again, I was glad to see Death's Head back. I think he was like a Marvel UK character or something like that.
Yeah, and I think he did pop into some books, like I said, so. Well,
and
I enjoy him.
I'm sorry, there was a lot of really good spots. The interactions between Death's Head and 451. I also like that Tony is not going down without a fight, I guess is the best way I could say it.
Yes, he's using all the options at hand to the best he can. Mm-hmm. So I like that.
Yeah, so that's Kieran Gillen and Greg Land, as mentioned before. Kieran Gillen doing a really good job on Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. Where would you like to go next?
I would like to talk about Thanos Rising number 4.
Gotcha.
Now, unless I'm mistaken, and I don't think I am, this may have been late. Not by much, but it feels like there was quite a gap in between this issue and the last issue. It was only about 2 weeks. It was only about 2-3 weeks late, actually. Nonetheless, Jason Aaron and Simon Bianchi are the creative team. Jason Aaron, writer. Simon Bianchi, the artist. Now, I guess the question I have for you, Todd, is,
mm-hmm.
were you surprised by the reveal in this issue?
I was, because I didn't think they were going to go that route. I thought, you know, we might get a bigger swerve. Mm-hmm. But I'm not 100% sure we're seeing what we're actually seeing, if that makes any sense to you.
Yes.
I think, you know, there's a reason they call him the Mad Titan, and we're finding that out as we go. I don't believe this is exactly who they said it is yet. I think it might all be in Thanos' head.
Now, again, we're trying to skirt around the issue. If you know the Thanos character, you know what his deal is, I guess is the best way I can say it. And I think this was the reveal.
Okay.
I think this was your Act 2 sort of deal. And now we're going to move on to the whole thing with his father finally stepping up and, you know, making the decision to take him down and how that all is going to work out for him.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it's revealed to us, I thought, was really cool.
Yes, definitely.
It was a way to make something that is not necessarily a surprise, surprising.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And like I said, definitely Jason Aaron's a good writer, and I love Thanos as a character, and it doesn't stray, like, completely away from everything I know about Thanos with new stuff, so I'm not, you know, one of those, oh, like, you've ruined my Thanos. But I'm just enjoying it, and I think next issue is the last issue. For some reason, I want to say this is only a 5-issue mini.
I'm almost certain it's 6.
Okay. For some reason, I had a weird 5-issue mini in my head because it'll come out and then we're going right into Infinity with all that stuff. But I could be wrong.
I think with it being late is the concern here.
Mm-hmm. But maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been known to flub occasionally, Leonard.
No, you know what? You are correct. I stand my apologies to you, sir. It is a 5-issue miniseries.
Mm-hmm. So definitely it ends next issue. But
yes, indeed.
But how much it ends, you know, with Marvel's history of a mini going into another storyline, we'll see.
Right.
So.
But I think we might have talked about this before. Are you getting Infinity?
Yes. I'm not really sure, like, how all that works. I'm going to, you know, I have to look, because I know you have your triplicates and forms, and I'm going by, like, the ads that I see on Infinity. I'm going to pick up the Infinity book, and then after that it's going to be whatever I normally get, maybe if they do, like, a one-shot with a character that I enjoy, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much sold. Once this is done, I'm done. I'm probably not going to be checking out Infinity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on crossover ban in these parts.
You have crossover fatigue?
I wouldn't say fatigue, because it's not like I'm reading them and I'm like, oh, I have to get all these books. I'm being forced to buy all these books. Nope. I know what I can pick up and what I don't need to pick up, and, mm-hmm. you know, I can make those decisions for myself. And I just have a feeling that I'll be okay without Infinity.
Okay. I'm definitely giving it a try.
Well, I will force you to talk about it right here on this show.
Ooh, force me.
You're going to force you at knife
point. I was going to say the chicken wing. That's what I was hoping for.
I'll really wrench it in too. I won't give you the lazy version of it.
See, I don't know if there's how the lazy. I know I'm starting to learn the handshakes, but the moves I'm not 100% on.
Oh boy, I'll get you when I get you.
Okay.
So the last book that we're going to talk about from this past week is another penultimate chapter of a book written by Jason Aaron. It is the second-to-last issue of the current God Bomb storyline in Thor God of Thunder number 10, with art by Issad Ribic. Now, the only reason I did not include this book on my original list was, what really more can we say about this?
It is true. That's kind of why I said it when we were getting back to that, I'm flip-flopping on certain books, because, you know, I don't want to stay on too much. That's why I like when we get like a Batman 66 or Red Sonja, we could try out new stuff. But I don't want to be too spoilery, but I did get my wish that I was hoping for in the way of Hammer, so that made me happy.
Yes, it's a really good book. Unfortunately, because it's in the middle of a storyline, it's not the best jumping on point. I'm sure there will be a great jumping on point once it gets a little bit closer to movie time. I know they're doing a Malekith story in the book once this is all said and done, and I know Malekith is the villain in the movie, so, or one of the villains in the movie. So, yeah, it's a safe bet to buy anything but with Jason Aaron's name on it, because it is always good.
Yes, and he's going to have a bunch coming out in the future, not just yes, at Marvel. Indeed.
Yes, indeed. So I think that covers everything that we read from this past week.
Yes.
What is the book that you are most looking forward to coming out this week?
I have a, you know, a smaller week compared to all the huge weeks that I have been having, but I am giving Hunger number one a try, because it's Filakov, and he's one of my favorite writers, and that's something that spun out of Age of Ultron. Basically, the premise is, after the universe shattered and put itself back together, it shunted Galactus, our Galactus in the 616, over into the Ultimate Universe. And I guess he's coming for Earth, and they don't know about it. So I'm willing to give that a try on. You know, that's another up-and-coming writer that I give a chance to, no matter what he does.
So, yeah, you know, and there was some talk at San Diego on what this and the follow-up are going to mean for the Ultimate Universe. So I guess we shall see. This is the beginning of that. If you're an Ultimate Universe person, I think this is almost essential reading.
And it's funny, because I'm not. I've only read a fistful of Ultimate stuff, other than I did a bunch of FF. I did the first two Ultimate 12 issues. And then after that, dribs and drabs, you know, pick up something that interests me. Never did the Ultimate Spider-Man, so it's funny that they managed to get me to come over to the Ultimate Universe.
So the book for me that I'm most looking forward to coming out this week is Batman Superman number 2 by Greg Pak and art by Jay Lee. We had talked about this book when it came out last month, the first issue of it. We were both looking forward to it. We both read it, and we both were not sure what to make of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I am looking forward to this this week, because this is going to be the make it or break it issue for this. I'm hoping this is good. I kind of know a little bit more about what they're going for in this.
Mm-hmm.
And with that information, I am a little bit more optimistic as how this is going to go, but we shall see.
Yes, I heard something, too, about the book that makes issue one make more sense now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to two to see if I enjoy it, because I'm a huge Jay Lee fan. But, you know, if the story's going to hurt my head, I'm going to have to move on also.
So. Yes. So, and that's the thing. There's, you know, there's room to open up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
On my list, and this is a book that's on the edge, and unless this issue is really good, it could fall off the edge.
Yes.
Yes. So, continuing on from here, I think that covers what we're looking forward to coming out this week. Before we get into our Twitter question, I would be remiss if we did not mention all of the ways that you can reach us online. You can shoot us a review on iTunes. Just search up Weekly Long Box. If iTunes is the way that you get your podcasts, you're already there. Just click 5 stars and be on your way. No fuss, no muss. It gets us higher in whatever fancy algorithms that Apple uses to make people find podcasts. And the more people that listen to this podcast, the more people that they are part of our little community here. Speaking of our little community, be sure to follow the show on Twitter at Weekly Long Box. You can also follow Todd on Twitter at Roker the Joker. That's Rowker the Joker. And I am LF Chikarason. That's LFCHIKARASON on Twitter. I have hot and cold spells lately of how much I'm tweeting. Sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it's not. You know, depends on how busy I am. I'm going to be away. I'm going on a little bit of a vacation this week, so I'm probably going to be on a self-imposed Twitter silence.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'm going to have to pick up the slack.
You certainly will. You certainly will. But you can also email me at that same lfchikarson@ymail.com if you're not a Twitter person or if you got something more that 140 characters just can't contain.
Hmm. That's the way I am. 140 characters. I just want to blow through that number.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into the Twitter question. Our question from last week was what was the announcement that you wish that they made at San Diego? And I think a couple people were, you know, they were spot, you know, I wouldn't say spot on, but they had their wish granted in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just cover some of the ones that really stuck out to me. Luis DeSantos, LD Santos on Twitter, mentioned a Superman comic by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. Oh, boy, don't I wish that happened for real.
But then he'd have...
I think that would... you know what? If you told me that I was not allowed to read any other book, and that would be a book that would be published for the rest of my life, I think I can get by on just that book.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be the morsel that would sustain you?
I think so.
Gotcha.
I think so. Mike Schaefer, a longtime listener of the show, wanted some news in the Justice League movie. He got some, I guess.
It's partly on its way.
Partly on its way. We saw some people looking for returns of characters that have since gone. Both Zeus Ramos and Jeanette Frost Ramos, husband and wife. I met a good friend of theirs this past weekend at one of the shows. Both want Ted Kord and Booster Gold to come back together as a duo. Booster we saw recently in All-Star Western, but I know a lot of people want Ted Kord to come back. We had another listener here, as I look over my list, ask for the return of Wally West and Donna Troy, and that was Noel Margate, Vegas Margate on Twitter. I'd like to see Wally back. I didn't have the same attachment to Donna Troy, but... I don't know. It's one of those things where I'd like Wally to come back, but I'm afraid of what they would do to him in the New 52.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the speedster situation in the New 52, so yes. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know where he'd fit in.
Kevin Hellions on Twitter, Team Hellions, wants the New Warriors to come back, and he wants to write it himself, and art by Sia Oum, and I know I'm definitely mispronouncing your name wrong, and I apologize about that. I know they tease that there's going to be a new Warriors book written by Zeb Wells, and unless that is a pen name of yours, Kevin, unfortunately you are not the writer of that book. Mr. Senior, one of our contributors to the Foregone Sketch Party Saturday, wants the return of Spider-Ham, and there's that weird... that weird comedy anthology book that Marvel's putting out in October. And if there was any place for Spider-Ham to pop up, it would be there.
I'm a huge fan of Spider-Ham and Captain Carrot. And yes. I would like to see them come back. Maybe crossover.
Awesome. Now if there was anything as the olive branch between Marvel and DC, there you go.
Definitely.
Bring me back a little Irving Forbush and you'll be all set. We had some people talking about Doctor Who news as well.
Really?
Somebody, Eric Haggard, wanted them to announce Martin Freeman as the 12th Doctor. I'm not really sure who that is.
Isn't he the black actor who was in Unforgiven and some other
movies? I don't
know. No, that's Morgan Freeman. I'm sorry.
Yes. Michael Lee Carter, Urban Remnant on Twitter, said he wants a Benedict Cumberbatch, Martin Freeman, I guess him as the 12th Doctor, and Benedict Cumberbatch, I guess he's Sherlock Holmes on the BBC series.
Yes.
He wanted a crossover between them.
Which would be awesome.
Yes. So my dream was for some sort of big announcement to be made for digital. And all I had in my little notes was a better digital system. And our listener, our non-Twitter listener, great listener at that, Kurt Cooney, he wrote me an email. And I'm going to read that email right now. And like I said, he summed up my thoughts better than I could I've ever tried. This was his email that he sent me as the announcement that happened at San Diego. Comics industry announces today that they will once again focus on publishing comic books. In an unprecedented move, the comic book industry announced today as a whole they're going back to old school and focus on creating the classic comic book. The paper of the books will again revert back to newsprint quality paper. They have also announced that they will stop producing an overabundance of gimmick products. Quote, gone are the days of multiple cover variants, die-cut covers, glow-in-the-dark covers, and gatefold covers, said one source at Marvel, heard stating, instead, we're going to focus on bringing all the books we produce to a higher standard of storytelling, and elevate the craft to an art form that does not rely on things that we can do with the printing press. The story should be the main focus, and new teams will not be allowed to hit the reset button just because previous storylines went in a direction not to their likings. This does not mean that a prestige format book will not be occasionally produced, but we want to reserve those items for a book that is truly a memorable and landmark event. The source continued to explain, our normal annual crossover events should not be considered for these formats, and this is the part that I really hung my hat on. With the lower cost in printing and paper, the industry has also announced that the price of standard issues will roll back to $225, with a 25% upgrade if you want the print and digital together, paid at the time of coupon redemption at the publisher, distributor, etc., etc., and digital comics starting price will be $1.25. The hope is that this new revolutionary approach will help strengthen our industry by delivering a more consistent and higher quality product. We expect these improvements to bring in more fans, attract younger fans with smaller disposable incomes, and bring back old fans and encourage growth of our industry. So, yes, that's the extension of what my thought was, and that's much more eloquent than I could ever put it. So thank you, Kurt, for putting that together.
True. That was well done. You should have closed with that one.
So now, Todd, you have to follow that.
Yes, and I know you're going to be so happy because mine's also a Doctor Who-related one, and I know how much you're a big fan. But there was rumors a while back that Doctor Who has a bunch of missing episodes. I think it's somewhere in half-hour episodes, 108 of them, that the BBC recorded over to save money by reusing videotape, which was a brilliant idea, by the way. But before they did that, they sent copies off to the world in basically what was early, syndication. And a few of these episodes have been found because they were never returned or they were in vaults. And there was rumors that there was a big find, I want to say in Africa somewhere, from a guy who collected stuff like that. And the rumor is, like, hasn't been confirmed or denied, that they did find about 90 of them. I was hoping that they found all 108 and I could sit down and watch Doctor Who from the beginning to the end someday without any missing episodes.
Oh, that seems like a pipe dream. I did not know the number of missing episodes was that large.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a few.
Yes, that's more than a baker's dozen.
Mm-hmm. So, but I'm hoping that they did find a couple at least, because I always hold out hope. But it's my dream. So maybe someday we'll find a way to get into space and catch those broadcasts and send them back. That's what I'm hoping for.
Like the signals bouncing around out there somewhere?
Yes, someday an alien race will, their first offering to humanity will be bringing back the lost episodes of Doctor Who. But someday.
Someday. Unfortunately, maybe not in our lifetime.
No, definitely not.
But you know what? Maybe the man, when he grows up, he'll have all the Doctor Who he can stand.
That's the world I want your son to grow up to live in. That really is.
Oh, boy. So, again, thanks to everyone for listening and contributing to the Twitter question from this past week. This upcoming week's Twitter question. We all like comic books, and we all express an opinion about a comic book. But how much did you ever express your opinion to a comic book? Obviously, it's much easier in today's day and age. You can send off an email, a tweet, or even a podcast. But have you ever written a letter to a comic book?
Hmm.
And has that letter ever seen print? Well, let us know who you wrote to and where that issue saw that letter saw print. Maybe we'll try to track them down in our vast collections and talk about your letters here on the air next week.
Very interesting.
So not so much as a question, more so the question is, did you ever write into a comic book and was that letter ever published?
Interesting. I know my answer. I don't know about yours.
I got a couple. I've only had maybe like three or four, and I know the one I'm going to – I know the one I'm going to pick.
You know what? It took me a second, but I was like ding, 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 ding. I was like, I know which one you're going to use because I think if I'm correct, I might have been mentioned in that one. But anyway,
right.
So then I'm –
Of course.
Oh, no.
Of
now
course.
Now I know what one it's going to be. It's spoiled for next week. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Do you know mine?
I don't want to spoil it.
But do you? I was just wondering if you know the answer.
Was it only one?
It was one and only one.
Then I know.
Okay.
And part of it is because the reason this question came about is because obviously I know the one that I'm going to ask. I know what mine is. But I also know what Todd's is.
Mm-hmm.
So, Todd's is a much better story than mine. Mine's just like, it's in the book. They like it a lot. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
But Todd's is a much more fun story.
Yes, I still get, people still say something from in that letter to this day.
It's almost as though it's your catchphrase.
Yeah, oh, I wish I had a catchphrase. Something I could put on shirts, make a couple extra pesos.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, just if you've ever had something printed, let us know. Tweet it at us. You know, if you have that issue, scan it, and we'll talk about it. It'll save me the trouble going to hunt it down. But, yeah, we'll talk about it right here next week. Just throw the hashtag GrizzWLQ on there. It'll make it that much easier for me to find.
Yep.
So I guess unless there was anything else you wanted to go over?
Nope, another flawless episode in the books.
And I do thank everyone for listening. This is episode 88 of the Weekly Long Box, and we will catch you all here next week.